Our Bible reading this morning comes from Romans chapter 8. I'm reading verses 13 to 39. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in our creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Let's just pray. Lord God, we thank you for the many things actually we've been participating in today, for the gathering of a spiritual community that comes from many different parts of the world and many different cultures, and yet we've found a belonging in you that draws us all together when we're grateful. We've celebrated the birth date of someone 100 years old. We've celebrated just a new little life that is just beginning. We've been led in communion with very powerful and well-chosen words, and led in such a far-reaching and prayer of depth. So we thank you, Lord, that you are alive and well in this place, and you are alive and well in the lives of people throughout the week, and we are grateful. We remind ourselves, Lord, that we haven't come for a show. We have come to honour you, and we've really felt that this morning. So, Lord, be with us now as we explore some more of your word. And, Lord, that you would speak to each of us through the power and movement of the Holy Spirit Maybe there are things that might be important to me today, but maybe there are different things important to other people here. So, Lord, I just pray that your sovereign will would be made known, that you would lift up, that you would encourage, that you would bring your peace, that you would bring your revelation, that you would bring your insight, Lord, to all who need it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you again, Annette. I know we talked about it earlier. It is a mammoth reading, and I appreciate the dedication you had to read over it. I know you said like 50 times or something. You really dedicated some time to do that. So thank you for doing that. Everyone's okay here, is that all right? No one. I was always waiting to see who's going to duck under the chairs or disappear at the back with the police vehicle ambulance going past. So thank you. For me, sitting here and hearing that read, and read so well, reminded me again of our brothers and sisters from that distant part of the ancient world as well, who gathered sometimes in quite precarious and difficult places, in towns and cities and in houses where sometimes there was persecution or indifference at its best and horrific persecution at its worst. And people who would have taken the dedicated time to listen together to the writings that came to them. Now, we think of the Bible as being all together as a book, but it's actually the gathering of many different things that was sent out, particularly in the New Testament. The writings of Paul, the writings of Peter and James and others, and texts that didn't quite make it into the New Testament, but they floated around, and people would have sat in their homes, in their places of worship, just to hear what God is actually saying to them. So it's been helpful for me today to think, my brothers and sisters, all those generations earlier, sitting right throughout Asia Minor and the Middle East, in parts of Egypt and across into Spain and certainly in Rome, really hearing this declaration from Paul, from his understanding of what the Lord has revealed to him and the depth of that. Now, we are more than conquerors. To know that no matter who you are, no matter how well educated or not educated at all, no matter how much money or how impoverished you are, no matter what you have as a blessing or what's been taken away by the state or by neighbours who have risen up against you, that you are more than conquerors, that the Lord is with you. And that is such a profound truth that's been carried from generation to generation, and I just love it. Because today, and it was in the prayer, Paul, thank you, to think of those in different parts of the world today where it's not convenient to gather in worship like this, where they are hounded and pushed out. And I think of our Christian brothers and sisters in Gaza and in Israel and through other parts of the Middle East and right throughout other nations in the world where it's not always an easy thing to say, Jesus is my Lord and my Saviour. Jesus is the Son of the living God. Jesus does reveal a way of life and of living that is so profoundly different. And so I find as we gather here, isn't it good to have a bigger view of who we are, a bigger view of who we're connected with, a bigger view of what our prayer life is really about, and a bigger view of what God is actually doing with us. Over these last weeks now, we've been spending time in the Lord's Prayer. And I know I've tried to paint this picture of the tent and how we build a place of worship. And it's been really moving, actually, hearing different stories from people over these weeks where they remember the time when they've done that. And maybe you've done some of these things too. When I get really confused and my head is full of too much stuff, I always try to go to a place where I can start to feel calm. And oddly for me, and we're probably all a bit different, I love the ocean, I love the hills, but strangely for me, I like walking through all the laneways of Melbourne. So when I'm really like in a troubled headspace, I just jump on a train, head into town, get off at Flinders Street and go for a long walk. And I usually find by the end of the long walk, there's something about, I don't know what it is, walking in a different place, walking, not even thinking about a destination, that I find really helpful. So I'm encouraged when I hear about people who walk in their neighbourhood or even just around the block or even at shopping town, and there's something about the act of walking that begins to calm them and remind them who they are. I've had times of prayer, and maybe you have too, when all I could do was throw myself on the ground situations that were impossible. People I really felt for and couldn't do anything about. And all I could do was say, well, I can't do anything else. I can't drive there. I can't do anything. I'm just going to stop. And often I'll throw myself on the ground, not too dramatically, but just get on the ground and spread myself out in a prayer of pleading and intercession. Lord, I don't know what to do. You know my heart. I feel so broken over this. This family, this individual, this nation desperately needs your help. And so I find for me that posture of prayer is a really important part of what my life is. And maybe you've got some of those postures of prayer too. Recently I took a funeral service at Mornington, and a lady I knew across the road from the Mornington church office, her name is Maggie, and she was an Anglo-Indian whose family left India during the independence time, and they weren't sure how that would all work out, so they went to the UK. Didn't really fit there between cultures and places and kind of the different skin colour, and, you know, it was not an easy place for them to go to. And eventually Maggie came to Australia, and she thought she'd just come and make some money and go back home, and she heard a magpie. The first day she was here, she heard a magpie sing, and she thought, this is my home. And so she stayed. Her sister came from the UK to honour her at the funeral, and she said, I have a reading, it's so simple. This is the favourite poem that Maggie had had since she was just a little tiny girl. And she flipped open a book and she read A.A. Milne's Vespers. No? This wonderful image of a little child just kneeling beside the bed, praying to God, God bless mummy, God bless daddy. Oh, God bless, you know, I just forgot. It's such a simple prayer. And somehow in that room, this is where Romans 8 is so true, the Holy Spirit blew through that room and there was not a dry eye. There was something about the reading of such a simple, simple, prayerful poem that touched everybody. And you can't duplicate that again. If I read it here, it probably wouldn't happen. It was in that moment, in that time, when Maggie's profound, simple faith from a little girl to a lady in her mid-80s just touched everybody. That's God's gift. So as I read today from Romans 8, as I think about the Lord's Prayer, it still is around the sense of the safety of the zone, no matter what is going on, when God creates that shelter around you and your participation in desiring to create that shelter, taking the time, kneeling beside the bed, lying on the floor, phoning up or dropping into the office and saying, oh, can I just go into the chapel? I want to pray and I'm going to take all day. That's allowed. Because there's something precious about the way that the Lord meets us in our intercession for the world and for ourselves. And it shows up in the most amazing ways. So I've got this image up on the screen, which we discovered during the Psalm Zoom study, which just finished on Thursday. And I love it. I used it for the young adult small group last Wednesday night. We were looking at Psalm 23, and it kind of relates to the Lord's Prayer as well, because Psalm 23 has the same feeling of creating a place of shelter, a place of safety. Anyway, I opened up with the young adults to talk about it, and the conversation just went bing, because it's such an unusual image of Psalm 23. So some talked about the lion and the other animals. There's bunny rabbits in there, there's all sorts of different animals, and they're all relaxing with each other. It's got a Mexican, South American theme, so the nature of sometimes other cultures and other colours actually help us to maybe get a bigger view of what God is like. In that conversation, one person said, I always think about Psalm 23 as like a desert space with a stream, and I've never thought about it in terms of an abundant place of many mountains and actually many valleys. Abundance can be confusing. So they talked about there's a little stream in the middle of it. They noticed the stream, and sometimes God brings that calm. One of the other young adults said, because I'd said to them, if you had that image in your house, where would you put it? And one of the people said, oh, I'd put it in my dining room and I'd have it on a wall. It would fill the wall because what a wonderful invitation to come and sit and eat a meal and feeling that you're at the table of the Lord with all of your friends and it's a friendly and inviting place. So I'm just encouraged that when we stop and begin to consider what God is saying, it is amazing the things that begin to come to you. One of the other young adults said, well, I wasn't sure if I'd even come tonight. It's been a crazy week. There's been a lot on. I've been so busy. I've been so tired. And I thought, oh, do I really need to go and spend these hours at the group tonight? And they'd said, but now that we're here, now that I'm here and we've spent this time, I feel like I've just paused and I've settled. And I'm so glad that I'm here. So I want to encourage you about, in all the world that's moving and all the news stories that are a little strange, to find the space and the time to just enter that sheltered spot and get an idea of what the Lord is saying. And then things happen that can surprise you. So in this reading from today, it talks about all creation groaning. Now, often we think only in terms of people. I don't know where you go, but I'm interested in some forms of faith. People only tend to think about what's happening for people or about them. But Paul takes us to this bigger view. What's happening for the all of us? What's happening for not just one nation, but what's happening for all the nations? And what's happening for all of creation? So I'm going to let you in on how God speaks to me sometimes, and it is a little weird. So I just want to give you some permission that your weirdness may not be as crazy as you think. Well, it might be, but odds are it may not be. It might be just the thing that God is actually revealing to you for a day that you don't know. So here is something that happened to me back in March, March 19. I remember the date really clearly. I'm walking down to Shopping Town to get some lunch. And it was, unlike today, it was nice and sunny and it was bright. And I'm getting down towards the little bus stop that's just further down the road. Some of you probably use that bus stop. And I'm walking along and there's a lady there in a very summery, white, billowing kind of dress. And she's obviously waiting for a bus. And I could see, kind of half hidden in her billowing white clothing, the face of a little tiny dog. And I thought, well, that's really unusual. I mean, in Europe, you'll see people jumping on buses and trains with their animals all the time and on planes. In Australia, not so much. And I thought, are dogs even allowed on buses? I've got no idea. I'd take my dog. I'd say it was my mental health dog. I'd just take it on, you know. But anyway, she had this dog and I thought, yeah, they're heading for the bus. Anyway, there was something about the look on the dog's face. It just had this look of, I don't know, expectation and wild enthusiasm, and I thought, this dog's really up for a bus trip. It's pretty amazing. Anyway, and this is my weirdness. I looked at it and I thought, I better remember this. There's something about this image that I just want to spread out before God. Why has it impacted me so much? And it actually got back to Romans 8. God said to me, and however God speaks to you, for me it's impressions. The impression from God was, all creation groans. Even for a little dog that's waiting for a bus. And what happened was, and this was just my brain and maybe part of God opening something, I just thought of the woman as like an angel, holding a little dog in its billowing clothes, waiting for a bus. So I got home and I thought, I really love this image. I did a crazy painting of it and found some words of a bit of a poem for it as well. And good friends of ours had their dog pass away recently, so I said, here's the painting, you can have that. For some reason, it really encouraged them. And then I supervised someone who said to me last week, oh, our dog's got really bad cancer and it's not going to last more than a week. We've had this dog for years. We just feel really terrible. So I'd send him a photo of the little painting I'd done with the words I'd written. And then he sent me a photo of 5 p.m. on Saturday when the dog was being put down. Little photo of him with his wife. I guess one of the nurses or someone must have taken the photo. But he said, thank you, because people forget that, of course, all creation groans. that God sees all creation as incredible and wonderful and blessed. I don't know I make too much out of all of that, but there was something about walking past a bus stop and God saying, just remember, John, Jesus has come for the all. It's not just about you. Jesus has come for the all. So I just want to encourage you on this last day of the Lord's Prayer, but you can pray it every day, to find those places that are kind of the sacred quiet spot for you. The world, as you might have noticed, is in incredible turmoil. As long as I've been alive, it pretty much always is. But it seems like the pressure points have actually just really tripped up. The amount of areas you think, gee, there's a lot of conflict, there's a lot of starvation, there's a lot of drought, there's a lot of craziness, and often I feel like I'm really inoculated. You know, I jump in my car, there's plenty of petrol and diesel, I drive around where I want to, my family is safe, and I remind myself, well, there must have been people who felt that way in Gaza not that long ago. Must have been people who felt that way in Ukraine not that long ago. Must have been people who felt that way in the US not that long ago. And yet suddenly it's like the tide begins to turn. And then within that you can fill yourself with panic and with chaos and with bad news, bad news, bad news. Or you can sit, you can pause, you can draw the living word close and let God begin to remind and speak to you of the beautiful and the kind and the generous and the exceptional things that the Lord is doing every day. And a lot of us find it hard to believe. You know, you are precious to the Lord. You are. And so is everyone else. Worthy to pray for. Worthy to plead for. And all of the creation around us, worthy to love and worthy to plead for. Let's pray. Lord God, I want to thank you because you are alive and well and moving through the world. We know that we get lost. We get lost as individuals and as families and as neighbourhoods and as nations and as grouping of nations. We forget ourselves. We can fill ourselves with revenge. We can fill ourselves with weapons. We can fill ourselves with how to pay people back for the things that they have done. Or we can stop and remember that a great price has been paid for us to deliver us from all of these things that are shadowy and dark. So, Lord, we do pray for the fullness of your glory, for your kingdom to touch earth, and for each of us, Lord, and the communities we're part of, to be a little stronghold, a little place where you are celebrated, a little place where the candles of love and hope and mercy and peace are lit in our hearts and our actions every single day. Help us, Lord, to do what you've called us to be, a light in the world. And we do need you because we're blown around. We often feel anxious or dismayed. We need your strength. Help us, Lord, to be the more than conquerors. Help us, Lord, to be the fulfillment of your hope until the kingdom comes in all of its fullness and the lion sleeps with the lamb and all the weapons are laid down and the fullness of who we are is revealed as brothers and sisters of Jesus. We plead this in his name. Amen.